Hello and welcome to Vet Art Span. I'm Fred Johnson, your passport guide on this exciting and important creative journey. Vet Art Span is a project which is a part of Creative Forces, an initiative of the National Endowment for the Arts in partnership with the U.S. Department of Defense and Veteran Affairs and state and local arts agencies. This is your Vet Art Span podcast. We're honored that you've joined us. Welcome. Today on Vet Art Span, we're excited to share with you an excerpt from an evening that we had at the Inkwell Center in Tampa, Florida, with an amazing group of veterans and civilians who came together to be a part of our Vet Art Span Vet-Civilian Dialogue. Vet-Civilian Dialogues are really designed to bring together members of the civilian community and the veteran community in a space where they can really begin to engage in a conversation, where they can feel safe to feel that they're understood, can feel safe to know that that there's a process and a way to really, really begin to learn and understand and start a new conversation with each other. We had not planned to do this podcast initially, but it was just such a rich environment and everything was just so perfect until I asked folks' permission if we could just engage in this experience and at least share some of it so that you, our Vet Art Span audience, could have an opportunity to feel a bit of it and hopefully be inspired to participate in a vet-civilian dialogue or even organize one in your area. So we're just going to come in on the beginning of this, but here's a little bit of the vet-civilian dialogue experience at the Inkwell Center in Tampa, Florida.
So welcome out to the Inkwell Center. It is a very we just do a lot of different stuff here. So this area you're sitting in right now is called Mocha Brows Coffee Lounge. We do a lot of different like events and open mics and poetry nights and things like that. We got a recording studio, so you hear the little tap that's going on. That's one of our producers, Nick, who's in there making some tracks. And Phyllis Tucker and her crew is in there rehearsing for a play or something like that. And you know, we do film, we've got a green screen room, all that kind of stuff. So we really try and do a lot of things that are just entertainment based. I am a veteran, I was in the Air Force. I guess you could say this is a part of my therapy, as much as it drives me crazy, this is part of it. So welcome out. We're all into creative minds coming together. If you got a show, a new work, something you want to test out, something you want to try out, give us a call.
So Melvin, let me just take a second, because I'll formally introduce the fact that we are here at the Inkwell Center, and this is a Vet Art Span podcast, and thank you everybody for being here. Give yourselves a big hand for being here.
Woo-hoo!
This feels like the real deal, you know, it's the real stuff. So we get an opportunity really to share this experience with folk across the state of Florida. And again, Vet Art Span is a demonstration project that is a part of the National Creative Forces Initiative in conjunction with the Veterans Administration, with the National Endowment for the Arts, with Americans for the Arts. And the Strass Center for the Performing Arts are really, really excited to be one of the leading agencies that really is kind of circling the wagons and having this experience. So here we are in a great performance space that is owned and operated by two veterans who I've had the honor of knowing for a long time. And art is a really, really important part of their journey in their lives. And because I know them closely, I know also that it's an important part, like Melvin said, in terms of at least your way of being or therapy. But, you know, just as we start out, would you, you know, just give us some insight into what art does for you?
I mean, it's, you know, art is the great escape. So a lot of times, you know, there are all these boxes that everybody gets fit into as far as life is concerned. And, you know, even when you become a veteran, they kind of deprogram everything that you ever knew and kind of turn you into something else. And then when you're done, they push you back out and they expect you to like get into that box. And in many cases, you don't fit in that box anymore. And so a lot of times the art is the release. It's I write a lot of shows, a lot of plays. So it's the creation of that abstract kind of thing and things that are familiar. It's getting in touch with feelings and emotions that may be going on inside that don't operate well inside the box. So it's really just a great release is what it is. Art is just a great release for me.
That's great. And we're really honored to have some folk who are not veterans here. We have some civilians in the house. Do we have some non-military folk in the house? Welcome, 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 because this is a veteran-civilian dialogue. And so the whole idea for all of you, so that you'll understand, is that people are really, really committed to the conversation on a national level, that there is a divide that exists between our veteran community and our civilian community. And that is largely the byproduct of the fact that there was a time in the United States where all men had to register for the draft. About 1973, the draft was ended. And so at that time, unless you had a family member, someone that you loved or someone that you knew who joined the military or were involved in the military, then there became kind of this a space between understanding what military life is like, understanding the responsibility of military and military families, the military culture. And it's just a byproduct of the fact that if you weren't volunteering for the military and if you didn't have somebody in your family that was engaged, then the understanding, there was kind of a divide. So that traditional period in America where everybody signed up for the draft, everybody was conscious of the possibility of having to serve, kind of went away. And then add to that politics and changes. And so now we have an opportunity to be able to share a conversation so that we can understand each other more clearly. The same thing, and I speak as a veteran now, the same thing happens when you come back from service, when you leave the service and you reintegrate or you move back into civilian life. You know, you're used to a particular lifestyle, you're used to a way of living and functioning. Your family is used to that. And so you now have to kind of find another pathway or find your pathway back. No, you're not seeing double. Another guy just walked in the room that looked like the guy in the front. So Marvin Coleman, twin brother to Melvin Coleman, just walked into the room. Everybody, welcome Marvin Coleman. Marvin, thanks for allowing us to be here this evening. I'm just giving an overview, and we're podcasting, so we're kind of live, giving an overview of the Vet Arts Span Initiative and the Vet Civilian Dialogue and why we're doing it. So, kind of a couple of purposes tonight. One, to be able to begin to have a conversation, to begin to create a safe space where we can come together and share our feelings, share our questions, talk about how art has impacted our lives. And what we hope to do is amplify something called military cultural competency, which basically means it gives folks who have not served in the military the opportunity to understand a bit more what the journey of being in the military is like, what some of our language is like, what some of the experiences are, and also to find links and crossovers and connections. A number of the folks that we've communicated with, veterans that we've communicated with, have shared the fact that, you know, it's hard for me. We just had a gentleman a couple of days ago that we were dealing with who's at the University of South Florida who was saying, you know, I'm in a classroom with folk that are communicating in a way that I'm not used to, you know, and so I have to kind of, you know, I have to retranslate my understanding on some level. And I don't just want to be seen as a veteran. You know, once someone oftentimes finds out that someone's a veteran, then they're related to specifically as that veteran, and you don't get a chance to kind of, you know, see that other element. So we want to talk about that a little bit tonight. We're going to share some art, those people that are interested in doing that. But what I'd love to do is just kind of, like we did last week, go around and everybody just kind of say your name and speak a little loud and let us know if you're a veteran or if you're a civilian. Oh, okay. We'll start here with this handsome gentleman.
My name's Dwayne. I did 4 years in the Navy, 87 and 91.
Tora Robinson, military brat.
Sir.
I'm Heather Clark, and I work at the Shaw Center.
Okay. Sergio Velasco, 6 years Army Reserves, logistics management coordination.
Nikita Wilson, a U.S. Army veteran.
Erica
Guevara,
veteran's wife.
I'm the husband. I'm Manny. United States Army.
Okay.
Sylvester Costin, United States Army Reserve, currently serving veteran of Iraq.
Dennis Montrose, 20-year Air Force veteran.
time and not a sin, not a sin over you.
Robert Thomas, United States Navy.
And Melvin Coleman, exotic dancer.
No, that's the other podcast. I'd be interested to hear, I know a couple of people were here last time. I'd be interested to hear what people's experiences were the first time and what you feel can really come out of this experience.
The last time I came, it was very therapeutic. As a veteran who's also serving other veterans in the community, I run into a lot of interesting and difficult cases in my line of work, and I really didn't know what to expect coming to the event last time, but by the end, it was something that I needed so much that I didn't realize I needed it until I was in the moment, being able to share what was on my heart, to hear everyone else share their stories. It really had a very soothing impact on me for the rest of the evening, and I couldn't wait to come back.
That's great. That's great. That's great. Anybody else?
Okay. So, to echo, so yes, when we first came over, my man Fred over there, he's got this thing going on, let me go support, be part, and I had that hat on, you know, support. By the time I left, I was so in a different place. I was so at peace, calm, and I live in Spring Hill, and the whole ride, my wife and I were just talking about what went down, the things that we were able to talk about. Things that should have been talked about years before, mm-hmm. but, you know, being a veteran, it kind of being the hard-headedness.
Sure.
We don't talk about. But it helped us to have further conversations.
That's great. That's fantastic, fantastic. And I'd be really, really excited for anyone who's comfortable with it to really share with us both whether you're from the non-veteran community or whether you're a veteran, about your feeling about this overarching conversation that we're having about the relationship between the veteran community and the civilian community. Anybody comfortable with just kind of sharing? Yes, sir.
So from what I see is that basically the veteran community is a microcosm of society. And then you have the civilian community. And then you have colloquialisms colloquial terms that are developed between each different part of society, and that I think that the arts is a good bridge for language and communication. So where we can't speak due to our jargon and due just cultural norms, I think that the arts form a bridge, and makes us able to dialogue better. So.
Yeah, you're an artist as well, right?
Yes, yes.
So talk a little bit about the work that you do with art and if it bridges or if it connects to, you know, the extension of who you are.
Definitely. I think just the human experience in general, one, you have to deal with a lot of chaos and a lot of joy and pain, and art is a good way to filter things, so it's easier to process when you have those good times and those bad times.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I don't want to talk to anybody, I might write it out, I draw it out.
That's great.
You're listening to a Vet Arts Band podcast. Vet Arts Band is a project which is a part of Creative Forces, an initiative of the National Endowment for the Arts in partnership with the U.S. Department of Defense and Veteran Affairs and state and local arts agencies.
Dwayne, I know that you are involved in the arts. You're a dancer. Would you talk a little bit about that and that experience?
Yeah, I'll tell you about, I started a dance company here for disabled dancers like 15 years ago, but I spent the last 4 years in San Francisco touring with a dance company, Axis Dance Company, and the first 2 years I was there, 15 and 16, we actually worked with Joe Good, a choreographer, and created a piece called To Go Again. And I was thinking about what you were saying about dialogue. And so anyway, To Go Again, he interviewed veterans and their families. And then he took those stories, and we spent a month, 5 days a week, maybe 5 weeks, but 5 days a week in the studio, taking the transcripts from those interviews. He created songs from there. The dancers had dialogue that we spoke on stage, and we put together this performance, and we took it on tour. And every city that we performed it in, we also connected with a VA hospital. Mm. And you were talking about art as being a tool for communicating what you have going on. Often we found, so when we took these stories from these veterans and went to VA hospitals, and we performed it for sometimes veterans who were just doing some, they were just there for art therapy. We performed it once for veterans who were in drug rehab, just a whole array of vets. And for them, they really felt like we were taking their stories and sharing with people in a way that they didn't know how or that they couldn't. So I guess, like you said, art for the vet who is an artist or feels like an artist or understands their art, it's a good way for them to communicate. And then for maybe vets who aren't quite there or creative or consider themselves an artist, it was very rewarding to be that conduit to the civilian community for that communication.
Oh, that's beautiful. How about someone who is not from who's not a veteran, who's from the civilian community, just in terms of maybe your overall understanding of the military or your feeling about the military? Anyone feel comfortable to share that?
My name is Sophia, and I feel like I'm learning more about and thinking about the military and people who've been in the military in certain different capacities. And the last dialogue we had, I remember that some very close my family members were actually in the military. And neither did my dad nor my brother want to talk about it at all. Mm. So that made me even more curious, but it made me kind of come to the conversation within myself of respecting them enough to say, okay, well, that is your story. I can't force you to tell it to me. But again, so overall, it's just even becoming aware of it.
That's great. That's great. I'm pretty sure that most of the civilian folks in this room are artists, though, right, are involved in theater. Is that correct? So I'd be interested to hear you talk a little bit about what does theater do for you? How does art impact your life?
I mean, for me, it serves as an outlet. You know, if I'm having a day where I'm sad, I can easily just go into a room and start singing. Whatever emotions I'm feeling, I can use this as an outlet to just express myself. So mm-hmm. I guess in a sense it is therapy too.
Yeah.
It allows you to also be someone else if you don't want to be who you are in that moment.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know anyone else's sentiments, but I guess for me, that's how it serves the purpose in life.
That's great. That's great.
I think the same way too. It definitely allows you to think outside the box on mm-hmm. certain things, especially with depending on what type of art, like what type of acting you may be going for, or just even to broaden yourself in the artistic ways that you can and just be able to grow mm-hmm. and gain new experiences. Mm-hmm. That's what it's doing for me. And even outside of just Inkwell itself, even when I'm ministering at church, mm-hmm. I do the drama ministry out there. So like I'm tapping into other things within the whole drama and artistic ways too.
Mm-hmm. For those that are in the room who, if you're comfortable with it, who are not in military folk, what is your understanding of military life or the military experience? When you think of the military, what comes to mind? What is your understanding of that?
I mean, I guess it varies. I have relatives that are in various branches of the military.
Uh-huh.
There's always been a disconnect because they're here and then they're not. You know, so it's like, I know that family members in the military, but that relationship may have not necessarily been there just because of the distance.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it wasn't until 9/11 that I really felt affected because I know I actually have family that have to go out. Like, you know they're serving, you know they're out there fighting, but once something actually happened to us, it's like, oh wait, no, I have family.
Right.
Like, I really need to pray and then really reach out and thank them and just really just tell them how much I love them. But there's always been that disconnect because you know they're serving, but they're not around, so you're not really building that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I actually, when you were talking about the disconnect in regards to like veterans and stuff like that, I kind of was wondering what do you mean, like especially the jargon with you guys. So I would actually like to know from being in the military and then coming out, what have you experienced? Because I really don't. Because I do have family in the military, but that's like family that's older than me, like way older. So I don't know what is the disconnect or anything. So that would be great to even share with you guys.
That's great. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that's something that many of us have come to realize, is that people just really don't know. One of the things that is an integral part of our Vet ArtSpan initiative, and within the next week or so, we will actually have a Vet ArtSpan website that will be up that will feature there. We have three really, really dynamic videos. I mean, I can't wait for you guys to have the opportunity to see it. It was put together by an organization called Military Resilience Foundation, and they're really dedicated to working with veterans, working with vet families, and helping to share this story so that people can understand military culture much more. And they're amazing videos. They've put together a 28-page document that's a really awesome, awesome document with just basic information about these are the branches of the service. This is what basic training is. This is what some of the language, and it's really, really great. And so you're going to have an opportunity to experience that. But thank you so much for sharing that, because I think that our other folk in the room feel the same way who have not been in military life, that there's some components or elements that you just don't understand. And because maybe a generational thing, or like you said, when the immediacy of 9/11 happened, then all of our attentions kind of circled back around to America and sort of the impact on all of us, whereas as veteran families and as military active folk and as veterans, that's something that's sort of on our palate all the time, because it's what we're trained to be directly connected to. Donnie, you were gonna say something?
I was a missionary for about 7 or 8 years full time, and what was always surprising to me was I would encounter people traveling, of course, who were, you know, military personnel, folks abroad, and they would think that I was military because of maybe some of the similarities in the time frames we were in places. For instance, we would cross paths in places like Bahrain, and they're like, well, if you're here, you must be military. And I'm like, oh, actually, I'm a part of this missionary. Really? Tell me more about that, you know? And it was surprising to me also that the number of Americans you find abroad, or the times that people will see you abroad, the assumption is you must be military. That's our presence in many parts of the world is that alone.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing that was interesting about that for me as a missionary is that was sometimes the better of our contributions there. The better of what we had brought was what the military brought.
That's great. Well, I know we have a writer in the house, and I'd be interested, if you feel comfortable, with just how does your writing, you know, how does that kind of serve you, just serve to your wholeness?
I retired from the Air Force in 2011 after 20 years of service. I signed up the month I turned 18. No dad in my life ever. I was still trying to figure out who I was, and then I was shipping out. I knew there was a discomfort, there was some sort of dissonance for my whole 20-year military career. There was a part of me I didn't get to know yet. And I thought that pursuing a Master of Fine Arts in creative writing would help me connect with that after I retired. It didn't. It's interesting that the military actually did what I didn't realize I should have been afraid of it doing. We talk about programming. I was programmed to get up at a certain hour, do certain things. I already knew what I was wearing every day. Right? And I wanted to push back against that. And I thought, I found out when I get out of the military, I was 38 years old before I knew that my hair curls up when it gets long. You know, because I had a short haircut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Writing has done, and specifically the writing programs I was in, it helped me piece it all together. What was that dissonance? I didn't even know I was feeling the dissonance, right? Mm-hmm. There was something there, but now I can reflect, because I have written very little of my writing is actually based on my military experience or veteran experience.
Sure.
The times it has been have all been negative. And it revealed to me that I do have, you know, an internal psychological, there's a dissonance there that I needed to work on resolving for myself. And it wasn't the actual pieces that I wrote that did that. It was the experience and the programs and the experience of writing and realizing my body of work as a writer is so not veteran.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is reading veterans. I was always interested in reading what other veterans had to say because I was looking for someone who also had to experience that dissonance, right? Someone to connect with. And I feel like that was super, super valuable because I learned that life is art, and art for me is simply elevating beauty. And there's different ways to elevate it. We see a beautiful painting, we hear a beautiful, not just a beautiful song, but a beautiful note in a song.
Yeah.
So the beauty's being elevated. But there's art also invites dissonance. Art says, hey, look at this ugly thing. We're going to remind you that beauty's over there. Right? So that's how beauty gets elevated in an inversion. And it allowed me to look at myself with inversions, to study myself, the flip side, and look at the fears that I'm just now like getting to know.
Mm.
Just now.
Mm.
So I couldn't have experience what I'm experiencing now in this, even in this moment. It's really nice to meet everyone. I love the vibe in the room.
Mm.
But without that military time and without the time just immersing myself in art, I couldn't feel how good I feel today.
I think
that's all you're getting out of me.
Okay. That's all. That's great. Once had the opportunity to talk to a gentleman who was actually in the army in Israel. And he said that one of the things that changed his life most dramatically is when he got the opportunity to hear other people's stories. We come to realize that we have so much in common, which enriches our uniqueness. And to the degree that we can really get to hear each other's stories and understand each other more clearly, you know, it enriches us from the inside out. Manny, you told a story last time about your first experience with the guitar and how, you know, you were like, why are you bringing this guitar with us? You know, that's crazy. I need this space. And now for those folk who are not in the room, you know, Manny walks into the room with a guitar, you know, so, how enriched we can be and how our ability to communicate and know ourselves, whether military or civilian, there's so many commonalities there. And I think that one of the most important things that the veteran wants you to know is there's that human there. You know, we're going through the same processes, you know. We've made a level of commitment that has taken us away from home for a while, that has shifted or expanded on some levels our understanding, but that when all is said and done, we're all human beings. And the way and the goal of Vet Art Span is to really help to articulate that so that the whole of the community can unite and we can be supportive of each other. I want to thank you all for allowing me to record a little bit of this. This is, I believe, a really, really important part of the work that Vet Art Span is doing, and another thing that cities throughout the United States can do as an example or as a working part of a formula that really unites the community, helps the civilian community to understand the veteran experience more strongly, and as you so eloquently put it, really more clearly understands how art can serve as a healing modality. Give yourselves a hand, please, for being a part of it. This is Vet Art Span. I'm Fred Johnson. Thanks so very much. Till next time, take care.